Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. This is Scott Taransky, and I am accompanied by Alanis Vetslot from the Netherlands, and we are here today to talk to you about a special book that we have, the book Home Improvement. It's available now both in a physical book or an e-book. It's also available as an audiobook now. So we're going to talk about one of the chapters in that book and give you insight into that book and whet your appetite for getting more and how that book might help you and your family.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dr. Scott. I'm very excited about this episode and about this series we're going to make on the home improvement book. And I'm going to just jump into right into it and ask you, how has this book come up to be, Dr. Scott? I see on the main cover a very young Dr. Scott and Joanne Miller. Tell us more on how this book came to existence.
We wanted to create a book that had both the idea of fiction and nonfiction in every chapter, because children often learn through stories. So the first half of each chapter is a fiction story about Craig and Marlene and their two kids learning some idea about parenting. Then the last half of the chapter is us teaching that material so each family can develop that material on their own. So this book's been quite a hit because it is, we call it the parenting book you can read to your kids. And it's just a great tool to engage children and to help them recognize some of the things that are going on in family life and parents too, so that they can make adjustments and strengthen the relationships, be able to move through things more quickly, get things done, reduce tension, all of those things. So we identified 8 things in this book, and we're going to cover one of those today.
Yeah, I must admit that reading the first chapter, I identified myself a lot with the experience of the parents. So I think it makes such a big change when you try to just, you know, bring things very close home to home for parents. So very interesting as well to have the story behind it. So I really enjoyed reading that. Now, getting more into the topic of today, what we will be discussing about is the first of the 8 areas that we will cover, and that will be tightening the action point. Is that correct?
Yes, every parent has an action point. That's the point where the parent demonstrates that they mean business. The point where they stop talking and they start acting, we call that the action point. And every parent has one, and they're different for each parent. Dads have a different action point than moms do. Grandma has a different action point. The babysitter has a different action point. The teacher at school has an action point. And children learn what those are. So we're watching, children are watching their parents, and they're learning what is the action point, and they'll wait until that action point comes before they take action. So if we can just analyze that one piece of the parent-child interaction, we can make some significant progress in teaching children to respond better to leadership and to be able to have that inner obligation to do something right away.
Yeah, I really like that. In fact, what really has struck home for me is the fact that we have so ingrained as parents because we're busy and because we are always doing something else and focusing on perhaps work. We have so ingrained in our behavior to sometimes have a longer action point. For example, give our children instructions 10, 15 minutes before we expect them to do it. So it's very good that we should, give it, go into a more detailed conversation about what exactly the action point is and how can we make sure that we are tightening it. And I have here what I call a definition of the action point. And then we can discuss over it. But it's what you mentioned here in the book is a tight action point means that you will give an instruction, sometimes offer a warning, and then immediately follow through. So you don't go into warning, which usually happens, and then at the end there's an explosion of anger.
Yeah, I think it's important for parents to understand, how do they communicate to their children that the thing that they're asking them to do is not a suggestion or an idea or a question? I don't think it's wrong to ask your kids questions, but when it's time to go to bed, we don't say to a child, well, you want to go to bed now? We don't communicate sometimes when this is the time when you need to take some action. So sometimes parents give their instructions in ways that sound more like a suggestion or an idea. Again, not wrong to engage your children with suggestions mm-hmm. and ideas, but children need to know the difference between a suggestion and an idea and instruction that you expect to be done right away. So we're focusing in on the words that parents use, their tone of voice. We're focusing on the cues that parents give to their children that say, this is one of those things we need to be focused in on here.
Yeah, so the first step would be that we know when, and our children know when they need to start moving because they have the cues learned and they have gone through them so many times that they don't immediately obey. So indeed, one of the the first steps is probably it's surely recognize the cues you use to tell your children it's time to obey. So the step two that I think it's very important, and especially as a parent myself, I find that very struggling, is to eliminate the negative cue. And sometimes, for example, I'm cooking dinner and I tell Joshua, wash your hands, and this happens, let's say, 10 minutes before we have to eat, or 5 minutes, and then he doesn't do it. So and I repeat myself, and I catch myself doing that without, because I'm so busy cooking dinner, I don't really realize what's even happening. So I get angry in the process, and I think that's really something which a lot of parents are struggling with, Dr. Scott. So how would you unpack that idea on eliminating negative cues?
I do believe that parents use anger to get kids moving. And in fact, some parents will say to me, my kids won't get moving unless I get angry. And that's just because that's how we've trained them. We need to retrain them. I would suggest that parents use these words. You use a child's name and say, you need to, and now. That is a cue that says to a child, this is an instruction that I'm giving to you. Now, sometimes parents have a hard time with the words, you need to, but keep in mind that that's what the conscience does for us. Our conscience says to us, you need to get gas now, or you need to pay the bills now. The words you need to communicate a sense of obligation, that this isn't an option, that I need to get up and close the door now because the heat just came on. Or what we're saying here is that we're trying to train children on a deeper level. This isn't just about getting something done. We're trying to strengthen a child's sense of obligation, increase their responsibility level. We're trying to draw something deeper into a child's heart. We can call it obedience because certainly the scriptures talk about obedience and children learning how to obey their parents. I think that's all good. But what does that look like? I think that parents have to make it clear that this is an obedience issue here mm-hmm. when I give an instruction to you. And so the negative cues tend to be the things like anger or being physical or something like that. Well, really what we need to do is often be more authoritative, not yelling or harshness, because, well, here's the thing. Some parents think that firmness and harshness are the same thing. Yeah, they aren't. Firmness and harshness are two different things, and we don't have to be harsh in order to be firm, but we have to communicate with our children, this is how I'm going to let you know that this is one of those times when you need to get moving right away, or you need to pay attention to what I'm saying, so that children understand their action point and parents can communicate that in a clear way.
Yeah. In fact, this is the third step you suggest in the book. Explain your new action point to your children. I think that makes a lot of sense. When I was reading this, I was thinking, yes, it's giving instruction. In the middle sits the action point, and then as the third step, we have consequences if we want to move there and if we need to move there. So that's how I see this process, going through these phases. So I give the instruction, maybe I give a warning, and that part makes part of the action point, and then I move into consequences if need be. But explaining to children is very important because we don't want to take them by surprise. I really like what you're saying here in the book, that we need to let them know, we need to explain to them so they understand why we're going to take this action and we're going to change the way we're going to talk to them about what they need to do. And also that we're going to ourselves try to change because we have maybe done things in a way which is inappropriate by yelling or by being angry. So it's very important, I believe.
I agree. And, you know, some parents will use a 1-2-3 approach. 1, 2, 2.5, 2¾. I mean, it goes on and on. I just think, let's not use that. I mean, Jesus talks about letting our yes be yes and our no, no. I mean, there's a sense in which we're clear with our words. And that passage is talking about adding swearing to the process. But what we're saying is, let's just allow our words to be what they need to be. So what that means is, that we need to make it clear to children, this is what we're going to do. If you don't know what your action point is, I think you just need to ask your child. I love having families together, and I say to a young child, I'll say, how do you know when your mom means business, that this is the time when she expects you to do something right away? And kids, I just love to listen to the response. They'll tell me sometimes, oh, her voice gets loud. Her eyebrows get furrowed. You know, kids will show me the expression on their face. I say, yes, that's how you know when it's time to move forward. Well, let's change the cues. Maybe by using the words, Joshua, you need to now, we can clarify this for the child so they know. And then we're going to sit down and talk to them. And we're going to say, you know, I have at times probably said things too many times, and it gives you the idea that you can wait till I tell you 3 or 4 times. I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to explain this to you so that when I tell you one time, you're going to respond right away. And that's what we're teaching children. We're going to help them understand this is what we're going to do. Now, yes, we could go to consequences if children don't do the right thing, but I think parents move to consequences too quickly. Mm-hmm. What I would rather see parents do is take action more quickly. It doesn't have to be a consequence. Mm-hmm. It could be that you just get up and go close to the child and say, you need to come now. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we're making a child feel a little bit uncomfortable, not uncomfortable with the parent, but uncomfortable with the fact that their name has been called or they've been given an instruction. Because that uncomfortable feeling is what we call responsibility, obligation. It's what we as adults have. When we have a task to do, we want to develop that in children. This is really how you help children become more responsible.
Absolutely.
We're not trying to be harsh or mean. We're just trying to communicate that there is a point where you take action, you give up what you're doing, whatever you're playing with, you stop it, because the I need to in your life is more important than the I want to at the moment.
Yeah, and I really like what you say about that in the beginning of the book, when children's responsibility is obedience. And I think that's something that is so important. And I think a few parents actually explain that to the children. There's so many schools of thoughts out there about how the children should be seen in relationship to obedience. But I really like what you say. You say children have a job description and learning obedience is at the center of it. And that's so important indeed. So, But I also think as parents, we need to be more intentional about how do we use our action point, you know, in more consistent way. I think sometimes we really are not really thinking through when we're giving instructions to give them the way, in a way like you mentioned, by saying, I need you to, or getting close to the children. So I think that's also quite important. And I know everybody or most parents struggle with that because of the busyness of life. But I want to really encourage parents and also myself through this to be more attentive, to pay more attention to how we ourselves look at the way, or to be more observant of how we are asking them to do something. And try to change that. Dr. Scott, how would you suggest that to parents? What would be a way that it would make it easier for them or for us?
Well, we don't want to turn the home into this militaristic place where kids are being ordered around all the time. That's not what we're suggesting here. There are times when we do allow children to lead, or we follow a child's leadership, or we let them choose or something. Now, those are all fine, but there needs to be a time in a child's life where they give up their agenda and they respond to adult leadership. And that's what we're saying when we talk about obedience. It's God is hidden within obedience, the secret ingredients children need to be successful in life. Just think about what happens when you learn to obey. You learn how to give up your agenda for someone else. You learn how to be responsive to authority. You learn to be less self-focused and more focused on others. It takes practice to be able to do that. And so when we engage our children in dialogue or we allow them to argue, we get ourselves in trouble. Now, I think it's really good to dialogue with your children. I think talking to kids is very helpful. But if we put too much dialogue in the instruction-giving process, then we end up with children who can't seem to follow instructions without a dialogue. That's a problem. And so what we're doing is saying, let's tighten the action point. I think sometimes we say to kids, hey, let's talk about this, but you need to obey first and then we'll talk about it. So we're teaching children some valuable things through this process. It's just strategic. Now, keep in mind that the action point isn't only for following instructions. I also believe very strongly that if we can use an action point with affirmation, we will also see our children beaming and we'll see them responding well. There's just not enough affirmation in our children's lives many times. And so when we see them doing something that's good, for us to respond tightly, quickly, and explain that to them and say, yes, this was a demonstration of good character, or you're growing up in this area, congratulations. I just think that's another way to demonstrate this action point, and certainly in a positive way. So it's just a key ingredient for increasing the working relationship between a parent and a child.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also important to remember that praises, and that's one of the last steps, praises, offering congratulations, and really being kind and showing your child that they have done something good. It's so important. It's really, it's increasing it's making the relationship better. And I noticed that with my son and my daughter, that they're both enjoying when I congratulate them or when I say well done to them after they've listened quickly or they've acted. And I do that even when I need to have an action point and when it doesn't happen immediately. But I do that. I still say very well done. So I think that's something that we forget sometimes to do. We forget many times to do, actually, to give the praise to our children. And I really think that's very, very important, a very important step.
I think it's important. Let me just say this in closing. I just think that it's important for parents to look past the tasks to what we're really teaching our children in the midst of those tasks. I know we're busy people. We're trying to get kids in the car. We're trying to get food on the table. We're trying to get beds made, clothes on kids, kids in bed. All of those things are important. Those are the tasks. But behind them, as we're doing them, we're teaching our children significant life skills that they'll use for the rest of their lives. The child who learns a tight action point is a child who doesn't end up procrastinating about life. They learn how to respond right away to the internal prompting of the conscience or to the Holy Spirit's prompting as God is trying to work with a child. We're teaching children how to obey, not so that they can just get the clothes cleaned and the dishes put away. We're teaching children to obey because we want them to be responsive to the Lord. We don't want children to have the wait-a-minute disease with God that says, oh, wait till I get this done or that done. We want children to learn how to respond because God works in children's lives early if they will learn how to respond to Him. So all of this idea of action point is tied into this bigger concept that God has given to us of obedience. We want to tie grace into all of this, but we're teaching children this powerful lesson that when an authority speaks, you need to listen and pay attention, because that's part of what your job is and your responsiveness. And that responsiveness to authority will lead to a good responsiveness to God.
Yeah, it's building character in our children, which is what we're actually doing throughout this process and in general with choosing to parent their heart. So thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for this wonderful book, which I'm very excited to continue reading and to talk about. Would you give parents some details on how they can find it and where? And I know that's that you have some you have a recording also of the book.
Yes, it's now available as an audio book, so parents can download the book and listen to it. One dad just told me he finished listening to it on a trip, or a long road trip. It's 5 hours and 28 minutes of audio, listening to the 8 chapters, and he was so grateful that he brought it home to his wife, and she's now, I think she's reading the ebook, actually, and so I was grateful to hear that. But yes, you can find this at biblicalparenting.org. Just type in the search bar, home improvement, and likely, as you listen to this, you'll see the advertisement right on the homepage, because it's the book we're promoting right now and encouraging people to take a look at. You can buy it at Audible, or you can buy it at Kindle, or you can buy it at the National Center for Biblical Parenting's website, biblicalparenting.org, and you'll find it to be a great tool for adjusting several things in family life to bring about closeness, decrease tension, and accomplish the mission that God has created for your family.
Dr. Scott, thank you for your wisdom and sharing with us. Parents, we are grateful that you are listening to this episode. If you have questions, you can always send them via the website Parenting is Hard Work, or go on biblicalparenting.org, and you have there a lot of resources. We are very excited to see you again in the following episode. God bless.